Good morning and welcome to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes. And the program is being paid for by Davidson Advertising and Alan Shoes. This is show number 34, and today is Saturday, December 26th, 2020.
And hello, my name is Alan McCloskey. My wife Annette and I own and operate Alan Shoes in Tucson. As hosts of this show, Rob and I are committed to serving you, our listening audience, with ideas, strategies, and techniques for building, marketing, or improving your business. We created the show to try and help the efforts of small business owners to recover from the coronavirus impact. Through all of our shows, we have been discussing the latest news. And on most shows, we interviewed leaders in our community that have shared with you their experience, their knowledge, and some have shared with you their struggles and success. Rob, what a difference a week makes.
How so, Alan?
Well, Rob, we now have a COVID relief package.
Really? Trump signed it? I thought he was playing golf yesterday with Lindsey Graham.
Yeah, I think you're right. Rob, well, in many ways, we have certainty for the future, don't we, of small business and political stability.
Well, it's hard to see that clearly, Alan. Did you hit your head or something this week?
Well, what I've decided to do this week, Rob, is simply to ignore the discourse. Pretending is the only way. After some of my recent Facebook posts and the comments to those that I received, I simply realized I can't change anyone's mind and they can't change my mind. Therefore, I've decided to ignore everything and just be happy.
Well, Alan, that's why I gave up Facebook. I could say it was for Lent, but that wouldn't be true. So I've just given it up for the foreseeable future because it drives me crazy. And I guess the only time I look at Facebook is to wish people happy birthdays or anniversaries now, because you're right. You can't change anybody's mind.
You know, last week, I labeled us as liberals, and you corrected me and said we were moderates. Well, that's certainly true. And I apologize for mislabeling you. You and I have had many discussions, and we see good things from both sides, so that makes us moderates. I used to believe most people were moderates, but now I don't think that so much. I think I figured out how to set the record straight, though. From now on, the show is being produced by the Moderate Broadcasting Group. Does that work?
I still think you hit your head on something, Alan. I don't know where you came up with that. That's a real doozy. But anyway, to get to our show, we have our guest today coming up today, Dave Hatfield from the Tucson Airport Authority. He's Senior Director of Air Service Development and Marketing at the Tucson Airport, and we'll be speaking with David shortly. But Alan, there was an interesting op-ed in this morning's paper that I thought we should share with our audience. It was written by Lawrence Hecker and Fletcher McCosker. Fletcher has been a guest on this show, and it's the opinion and analysis of them. The COVID-19 pandemic will end someday, hopefully sooner than later. There are actions we can take now to ensure that our community emerges from this crisis as intact and as strong as possible. We mustn't wait. It's essential to the cohesiveness and overall well-being of everyone in our region that during this crisis we support the many arts and culture organizations, restaurants, and businesses of downtown Tucson. Sun Corridor's predecessor, Trio, released an economic blueprint for Greater Tucson in 2007. The blueprint identifies the actions we must take as a community in order to strengthen our economy and attract, create, and retain jobs. As a key component of success, the blueprint recognizes that any community's downtown is not only its outward face, but an integral component of its economic heart and soul. Tucson is no different, and it desperately needs a vibrant downtown that includes a robust balance of office workers, residents, cultural entertainment venues, and important linkages to the University of Arizona. When the pandemic hit, we were well on our way to achieving this vision. Our arts and culture venues were vibrant and diverse. Businesses and merchants were expanding. Established and new restaurants were thriving. New employers were moving downtown. Office buildings and new hotels were under construction. The community was united in the pursuit of a common goal. We cannot let the many multifaceted advances we have made slip away. There are actions we can take today to ensure that we emerge from the pandemic. The progress made downtown is not lost, and here's how you can help. Number one, contribute to one of the many downtown arts organizations, museums, performing arts venues, or other cultural facilities. We are blessed to have an incredible mix of cultural resources. They are suffering during the pandemic and need as much financial support as possible. Now is the time to do it when you can still receive a tax deduction for 2020. dine-in or order takeout from a downtown restaurant. The choices are diverse, the food world-class, and it is safe. Shop at a local merchant. There's much variety, and you will get greeted with an enthusiastic and welcoming smile. Drive downtown during the holidays. The many lights and decorations will cheer you up during these stressful and trying times. Visit the Downtown Tucson Partnership website, downtowntucson.org, to see the extreme precautions that have been implemented to ensure that your downtown experience is as safe as possible. The website also provides detailed information on the many cultural, dining, and shopping opportunities that exist. In its report on the value of U.S. downtowns and center cities, the International Downtown Association recognizes that downtowns serve as the epicenter of commerce, capital investment, diversity, public discourse, and knowledge and innovation. They provide social benefits through the access to community spaces and public institutions. They play a crucial role as the hub of employment, civic engagement, arts and culture, historical importance, local identity, and financial impact. This is so true for our community and our downtown. Pima County, the City of Tucson, and the Rio Nuevo Multipurposes Facilities District have made it easy and safe to dine, shop, and visit downtown. The character of a community can be measured by how it responds to crisis situations. We can be proud of the way that our local governments, nonprofit organizations, and the private sector have united to meet the challenges we face and prepare us for a successful emergence from the pandemic. So, this is in this morning's Arizona Daily Star, Alan, and I sure hope that people will follow some of this advice and go shop at a local merchant, go dine at some local restaurants. I think that's all good advice and stuff that we can all do.
I think it's pretty obvious that the downtown area was under a great resurgence recently, just before the pandemic, and I hope they get back on track, and certainly think we should support what they're doing down there, because I think it does tell a lot about our city and puts us in the right reputation here, what we should be doing for a community. What else do you have on your article board today?
Well, another one. Arizona's jobless recovery rate in November was among the nation's worst. As the United States moves further from the spring's record high unemployment rates, a WalletHub study found Arizona is falling behind. Arizona has the ninth worst November unemployment recovery rate in the country, according to the rankings issued yesterday. The state has struggled to keep up with the demand for unemployment benefits, which hit a high in April. Overall, the United States gained 245,000 jobs in November, making the national unemployment rate 6.7%, compared with the nearly historic high of 14.7% at the spring break. To rank individual states with the best recovery from unemployment, WalletHub compared states based on four key metrics: the change in each state's unemployment during the November compared with November 2019 period, the change in each state's unemployment during November compared with January, seasonally adjusted claims in November 2020 compared with November 2019, each state's overall unemployment rate. The WalletHub study found there were 273,365 unemployed Arizonans in November 2020 versus 153,000 in November 2019 and 167,000 last January. Forecasters from both the U of A and Arizona State predict the state will recover much of the jobs lost in 2020 next year, depending on vaccines and further federal aid. So things could be looking a little bit better.
I certainly agree with you, Rob, and I think that there, you know, as part of what we're trying to do on our show, there's a lot of independently owned businesses, whether they're in retail, whether they're restaurateurs, whether they're service businesses of some kind or another, that people are unemployed, they're suffering, or their businesses are greatly curtailed, their volume, and so they're trying to struggle to stay alive through this pandemic. And the delay of these funds that are coming from the government, that is just a stab in the heart to many of them.
Yeah, it's just a tough pill to swallow for some people right before Christmas for the government to be doing what they're doing. Alan, I just hope that they come to their senses and come up with a plan here real quickly to get some money in the hands of people that really need it and businesses that really need it, because it could be a rough 2021 if these folks don't get what they need.
Upcoming after our break, which we're going to break pretty soon here, upcoming after our break, we're going to have our guest from the Tucson Airport Authority, Dave Hatfield, and we look forward to him joining our show. But let's break a little bit early. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. Our show is produced by the Moderate Broadcasting Group. Our call in line is 790-2040. That's 790-2040. Please come back after our commercial break.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner of Alan Shoes.
Alan, our guest today is with the Tucson Airport Authority, David Hatfield. He's been Senior Director of Air Service Development and Marketing for the Tucson Airport since 2013. Prior to that, he was with Inside Tucson Business, and prior to that, he was with KVOA. And David, welcome to Back to Business. Good morning.
Good morning. Good morning.
Been a long time, Dave. You know, you and I go way back. We both worked at Channel 4. We both started in 1983. You stayed there a little longer than I did, but been around town a long time.
Yes, yes, we have. Yeah, we had some good times at some of the heydays there at KVOA.
We sure do. In fact, I like to tell people I had some of the best, three of the best working years of my life at Channel 4. Unfortunately, I was there 6 years, but that's a skip for a different day.
I know. The end wasn't great.
The end usually isn't too good. No, the end's not too good. So, David, let's talk about the Tucson Airport today. Obviously, the pandemic has had a tremendous effect on that. Why don't you give us a little insight into what's going on out there?
Well, actually, as a matter of fact, we're doing our year-end report for our board of directors, or actually our members' annual meeting, and it is not a pretty picture. I mean, it is, if you look at a graph of where we were at as we started the year, we were we had just finished five consecutive years of increased growth. We were actually looking at the real possibility that we would have served more than 4 million passengers this year, which would have put us back into one of our best years ever. January and February were pretty good, and then March. And if you, we plotted a graph that we're going to use in our annual report, and it's just amazing how quickly, the numbers fell off. And in fact, by around April 4th, unfortunately, I'm having a little computer problem with my main computer this morning, but so I'm not looking at the exact date, but I think it was about April 16th was our worst day, and we served about 250 passengers that day. Normal day would be about 7,000. So it just plummeted, and in fact, here more recently, towards the end of the year, we have finally clawed our way back to about 50%. We're about 3,000 passengers, on a few days, not many, actually. I should say we've probably only done it 3 or 4 days so far this year since the pandemic. And you go back and look at, the numbers, and I was trying to find another day since this pandemic started where we had about 3,000 passengers, and it happened so quickly that we blew right through the 3,000. As our numbers were falling, we went from over 4,000 passengers a day to less than 3,000, and we fell right into the 2,000. We never, as we were dropping, we went so fast, we blew right through the 3,000. And it's been tough. I mean, not only is the airport hurting with passengers, we directly feel the response because the Tucson Airport Authority is a non-government, quasi-government, actually. We've got a state charter, but some business people started back in 1948. We received no local tax dollars. In fact, we have no taxing authority at all. The only way we make our money to keep operating is by user fees, the fees you pay when you park, when you buy a sandwich or something at the airport. There are landing fees the airlines pay. But, of course, when we don't have any passengers, we're not collecting any of that stuff. So it has been a real struggle. And not only that, we're part of the economy of Tucson, especially when you look at the we're just now getting into our winter tourism season, and I heard your report at the beginning, and 2021 is not looking like it's poised to start very well. We need it to we do need it to start well. We had a we are a winter tourism destination, and we got March is usually one of our busiest months, and it last year was not, or this year 2020 was not, and 2021 looks like it's going to be a struggle too, because that's what we need. But so we're not helping the economy as much as we would like, bringing the tourists to Tucson. But we're going to try, and we have various things that we can talk about here. But I've taken a lot of time.
So, Dave, this is Alan, and it's very interesting to me. I assumed to at least some other listeners about some of the economies and financial data that you talked about here, so I'm just going to explore that just a little bit here with you. Is what happens if you don't have enough passengers and therefore aren't bringing in enough revenue? Do you have some back some cash reserves to accommodate that, or can you get any money from government entities, or how do you shore up your bank account?
Well, we are in a fairly decent financial position as it is anyway. We this year we've broken ground on our airfield safety enhancement program, which is basically the largest program in our airport's history. One of the things is our airfield design is goes back to the 1950s, 1960s, and it's been adjusted, but there were some issues, and we've been working with the FAA for more than 10 years to get it up to the current safety standards. It's sort of like a highway that was designed in the 50s and 60s. There are safer ways to do it these days. So, and that's a huge project, and we've been preparing for that. So we do have money there. We have been very, very conservative with our money in the past, partly to save money for this project, but also we also received Federal CARES Act money. There was some Airport CARES Act money at the beginning of this whole thing. So it came in various ways. Part of it was to advance some funding for projects like our program. But there's an application process, and if we use it certain ways, we can get through the situation. So we do have some resources to get us through. To be honest with you, we had expected that by this time we would be about 50% of recovery from the pandemic, and we're not there yet. So it's going to be a struggle, and we're going to have to face some very serious decisions here in the not-too-distant future.
Explain to us what falls under your supervision with these titles that you have. So what departments?
Basically, air service development, as I work with the airlines on getting routes here. Right now we're actually we've got two new routes, but a big part of this year was staying with the airlines and trying to recover the routes we lost at the beginning of the pandemic. Also within our department, the marketing department, we are responsible for all of the marketing, both internally, externally. External communications is in there. We work with our membership and our tenants. We also have community affairs, community customer service, that basically is it.
David, one of the things you deal with the airlines, so how do you go about talking to the airlines about bringing new service to Tucson?
Well, a it was pretty good there for a while.
Right.
One of the things is you just stay in front of them. We do a lot of research. Probably one of the things, in fact, you talk about our going back to KVOA days. One of the things I really enjoyed at KVOA was doing research. What are people going to watch on TV at a certain hour, you know, and that sort of stuff. And that's what happens here. We're talking about what Tucson has to offer. I mean, we were on a pretty good stretch there. You know, it's you look up to Canada and the northern tier of states. We got a new route from Indianapolis last year. We have some others that we've been working on. We had a new route from Bellingham, Washington, which is right across the border from Canada, from Vancouver, Canada, and those things. So we basically do research. I can tell you where there's demand, and we take our case to the airlines, and it's a big deal. We talk to network route planners and talking to them about what fits their system and how we can fit into their system. And basically I have contacts, and it's not unlike a salesperson. I'm out there selling Tucson. We work very closely with Visit Tucson and other entities here in town. We have a relationship with Sun Corridor. We have a relationship with the Tucson Metro Chamber.
Dave, I'm going to ask you to hold that thought. We're going to come back. We're going to ask you to wait through our news and our commercial break. Can you stay with us?
Yes, sir.
Thank you. Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. You're listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen. It's on KVOI, 1030 AM, The Voice. Our call in line is 790-2040. The next segment, we'll have more from Dave Hatfield from the Tucson Airport Authority, more and other things of interest to share with you. Now we're going to break for our news and our commercial messages. Please come back. Join us.
Welcome back to Business with Rob and Allen. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Alcorn Auto Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, WaterTech, Arizona Pest Control, and Allen Shoes.
And I'm Adam Lechlofsky. My wife Annette and I own and operate Allen Shoes in Tucson. Our guest today is David Hatfield from the Tucson Airport Authority. I stopped you mid-sentence there, Dave, and I hope that you can continue with what you were telling us about what's going on at the airport.
Well, we were talking about staying in touch with the airlines, and I will jump ahead to this year, because one of the interesting things is trying to stay in touch with them about how each one is recovering or seeing its recovery. It is interesting. One of the more interesting things about my job is you go visit the airlines in person, and we have a consultant who says, you know, you watch when you go to the airline headquarters. Each airline's headquarters is a reflection of its image to the passengers. I mean, you go the day I showed up to Southwest Airlines, for instance. They were doing it was just before the Oklahoma-Texas football game, and out in they're next to the Love Field in Texas, in Dallas, and the employees were doing a plane pull between the Texas and the Oklahoma employees were doing it out there. So they like to have fun. And then Delta is very very precision minded, statistic minded. You walk into their lobby and there's data going on like stock tickers, how many missed bags they've got, how many planes are behind schedule or on schedule, and things like that. But anyway, so in keeping up with the airlines, each airline has mapped out a different little plan. Delta, for instance, decided to concentrate on local connections. So immediately they shut down their long distance flights from Tucson and sent most every passenger through either Salt Lake City or Los Angeles. And they've since grown out from there, and they've actually had a pretty methodical way of growing. Southwest has decided that they're not going to lay off employees. They were the only airline to say that that was not their intent. They will ultimately. They have warned that they may have to, but their original goal was to keep things moving and try and make the best. So they've been fairly aggressive, actually, about launching new routes. And we have long gone sought a route from Southwest that would connect us to their Houston Hobby Airport. They spent a lot of money there building an international facility so they can do international connections there. They can also do connections to the southeast United States and even to the East Coast. And so they said, well, we're going to give Tucson a shot. We're going to take you up on that. So they have started it, and I'm happy to report that they have been pleasantly surprised. The passenger numbers are very strong, considering the times, and so we actually won a new route, and we are about to get another new route from them starting in March. They're going to start going nonstop every day to Oakland, or actually 6 days a week, not on Saturdays, but 6 days a week to Oakland, California. I was checking the latest schedule adjustment came out. They still have not started service to Los Angeles. California has really, really been a terrible situation in terms of how the airlines view it, because they've just been so locked down over there. There's just nobody flying. I mean, we don't even have a nonstop flight to San Diego right now. But they are going to try Oakland because they have a little bit of a connecting opportunity there. And they are actually a little bit surprised by how well that's shaping up. It's mostly passengers connecting through Oakland, going on up to the Pacific Northwest and things like that. So we have won a couple of new routes, knock on wood. Hopefully they stay with us. We are still waiting on the return of some routes, but we are seeing some positive things. And basically, it's just a matter of staying in touch with the airlines.
So, Dave, a lot of people are afraid to fly. They're afraid because of the COVID-19 pandemic. What have you guys done out at the airport to make things safe for the traveling public?
Thank you. We have a vice president of operations, again, Bruce Getz. We had a reorganization in our organization last year, and our VP of operations was promoted to our CEO. Bruce came from Denver, and I tell you what, that guy jumped in and took the bull by the horns, and we have done a lot of things. I mean, we shut down the terminal every night and do the germicide cleaning of all the high touch areas. We've installed tow buttons on elevators so that people don't have to press a button with their fingers. They can do it with their feet. Interesting technology that's been around for a long time, but the elevator companies never had anybody that wanted to buy them. We installed ultraviolet lights underneath all of the handrails on our moving sidewalks and escalators, so they're germ-proofed underneath while the handrail is going around. All in all, we've done quite a bit, and in fact, we wanted somebody to check on this, and there is a global biorisk assessment that big organizations, convention centers, hotels, and airports can go through, and they'll evaluate your cleaning for, and we were the fifth airport in the world to receive their accreditation. So we were quite proud of that, and we are doing what we can to maintain that. It is very safe to go into the airport as far as what we're doing to keep it clean. I think as far as the airlines are concerned, everybody has to wear a face mask. There's social distancing. The CDC has said that germs don't aren't transmitted easily on aircraft because of the way the air system works on airlines. They have HEPA filters. And in fact, the air is completely recycled about every 3 minutes on an aircraft while it's traveling. So, which compared to an office, I think offices is about every 5 minutes on average. So, you know, and that's the big struggle, frankly, is people think of old cruddy airlines that have gum stuck in the seat pocket and that sort of stuff. That's not the way it is anymore. And airlines and everybody's trying to keep passengers as safe as we can. We've done a lot.
Have you guys been able to keep your tenants fairly happy as far as the restaurants and other merchants? How are they doing?
We had a lot of them closed. We were down to only two restaurants were open. We sort of operate like a shopping center that where there are different ways that we make our revenue because we make money from the people selling stuff. There's a minimum guarantee that they have to meet, and we've obviously relaxed that. So that is not in effect right at the moment. We are gradually starting to reopen, and we're trying to work with them as best we can.
It's a tough situation.
It is. We try to stay in touch with them. It's just very, very difficult.
Dave, I want to thank you for being with us today, and I appreciate your service to the community in the role that you play, and we're going to let you have the last word. What would you say to anybody out there, any business owner or business operator or manager like yourself, trying to endure and navigate through the pandemic?
It's changing, and that's the trouble. We don't know how ultimately will change everything. I will say, in talking to the airlines, that some of the financial people are looking optimistically that next summer could be relatively close to normal. I mean, there's one airline that said they think they might be back as close as 90% of normal next summer. I only hope they're correct. But I do think that once you try to travel and fly, we understand it's an individual decision, and please do it and be responsible when you travel. But once you do it, I think you'll see that everybody is trying to do the right thing, and businesses, if you do need to travel, the airlines are here for you. I do think travel will come back. Business travel will come back. It's been very slow so far. I think it's just a real struggle. If I only knew how it was going to change, I probably would be better at it. But if you do need to travel, I just want people to know that the Tucson International Airport is here for you. I mean, we need passengers. We need community support. And we're here to support you.
Very good. David Hatfield, thank you so much for being with us today on Back
Thanks,
to Business.
Rob.
We really appreciate
Thanks,
you.
Rob.
You take care. Be well. Have a happy new year. Happy and healthy new year.
Catch us on the internet at b2btucson.com. That's b2btucson.com. If you want to sponsor our show, please call Rob at Davidson Advertising at 629-9555. You've been listening to Back to Business with Robin Allen on KVOI 1030 AM The Voice. Our next segment, segment 4, includes our nominees for Putts of the Week, our sarcastic quotes, maybe an article or two. Please come back after our commercial break.
Welcome back to Back to Business with Rob and Alan. I'm Rob Davidson, owner of Davidson Advertising. The sponsors of Back to Business are Tucson Window and Door, Al Coronado Plumbing, Steamy Concepts, Water Tech, Arizona Pest Control, and Alan Shoes.
And I'm Alan McCloskey, owner and operator of Alan Shoes. Rob, what do you have for us that's going to update our listeners this morning?
Well, Alan, as we spoke a little bit earlier, Congress on Thursday officially began sending a massive COVID-19 relief deal and government funding package to President Trump, who has yet to sign it. The COVID relief provisions, about $900 billion in spending on programs to support businesses and individuals who are suffering as a result of the recession inflicted by the public health crisis. The government funding aspects of the bill account for about $1.4 trillion and are necessary to keep the government from shutting down on Monday. The bipartisan COVID relief and stimulus bill has been enrolled, said House Speaker Nancy Pelosi. So now we're just waiting for the president to sign it, or if there's going to be any changes to it. He's asking for $2,000 per person, and I think the bill has a $600 number per person. Big difference.
We were just discussing this, Rob and I, and on offline, and it's 5,600 pages, this bill. Was sent to me the other day. I've read up to page 2, and we think, my belief between my friends and I is that I've read more than any congressman or senator has of that bill.
That's probably true. How do they come up with 5,000 pages? I mean, it's just incomprehensible how they even...
It's a bunch of oink, oink, oink.
It's a lot of pork in there, I guess. There's an lot of pork. And it's unbelievable, some of the stuff in there. And I just don't understand why they just can't get the money to the businesses that need it and the money to the people that are unemployed that need it or to help others. I don't know why they have to have all this other stuff on there, Alan. But I guess that's a discussion for another day.
You know, the only thing that saves you and I, Rob, is sarcasm.
That's true.
That's the only thing that saves it. So here's that part of the show where we talk about sarcasm. It's a study from 2015 covered by Scientific American and which Parade magazine reported on, well, recently. It's like months ago, but it was reported on their website at parade.com. We found that article, and we've been taking bits of that article, the 200 sarcastic quotes, and now we're up to 161, Rob. Why don't you read that one?
All right, Alan. Number 161. There's a way of transferring funds that is even faster than electronic banking. It's called marriage.
Number 162. My boss told me to have a good day, so I went home.
Number 163. After Monday and Tuesday, even the calendar says WTF.
164. Common sense is like deodorant. The people who need it never use it.
Number 165. I've had bad luck with both my wives. The first one left me and the second one didn't. That's according to Patrick Murray.
Number 166. I'm starting to think my purpose in life is to serve as a cautionary tale to others.
Number 167. This is from Anonymous. This place is so weird that the cockroaches have moved next door.
I like that one. 168. I'm actually not funny. I'm just mean and people think I'm joking.
Number 169. What's a queen without her king? Well, historically speaking, more powerful.
Number 170. Marriage is give and take. You better give it to her or she'll take it away.
Okay.
Wait a minute. We're going to read that. You better give it to her or she'll take it anyway. That's what the quote is. Anyhow, I don't know this guy. His name is Jody Adams. He wrote that one. We're going to move on. You may want to know what we're going to do when we finish these quotes. Will be done in 3 weeks from now. Well, I think what we're going to do is we'll find a longer list, Rob.
I'm sure we can, Alan. I'm sure there's plenty of things out there that we can do.
Let's move on to our Putts of the Week nominees. It's our regular segment at the end of our show here. And we had five putts, and Rob and I just chose by the three to nominate here for Putts of the Week. And we could have come up with six and seven because it was no shortage of putts this week.
We could probably spend the whole show doing this if we wanted to, Alan, but we've picked out the few best ones that we think we can present this week. And number one is a homegrown one. An incoming state senator said she has no intention with complying with a newly issued directive that anyone entering the building at the Capitol must be masked. Kelly Townsend, a Republican from Mesa, told Capital Media Services she has no intention of complying with the policy created by Senate President Karen Fann. Townsend contends the Prescott Republican has no authority in this area, and Townsend is prepared for a fight. I've already told them where I stand, she said, and I will not do it. What can be done if the rules are followed is simply refuse to allow Townsend into the building. They're going to physically block me from the building, she asked. Well, that'd be fun, promising to invite a reporter there when she attempts the entry. So, Kelly Townsend, you're number one this week as our Putts of the Week.
Well, you're finding number two. I will say that I have a Facebook friend that is an anti-masker, and we went back and forth, and I didn't get him to move a millimeter, and he didn't get me to move a millimeter. And just in case anyone doubts it, We are the anti-maskers here, that we declared ourselves here. So basically, anything that speaks of anti-masking, we're not for. Go ahead, Rob. What's number two?
Number two, a Wendy's employee was reportedly shot by a disgruntled customer over a dispute involving dipping sauce at a drive-thru in St. Louis. The violence unfolded after a man is said to have ordered from the store on Natural Bridge Avenue. The man asked for extra dipping sauce with his order, and when he didn't get what he wanted, he shot into the restaurant, according to other workers. Two shots were fired, striking one 31-year-old employee in his lower back and arm. The unidentified suspect then reportedly fled in a dark-colored car. The argument was said to be over dipping sauce, but it remains unclear whether the shots were fired directly at the Wendy's employee or if he was struck by chance. The victim was taken to a hospital and was conscious and breathing, and he is expected to recover. So that person took his dipping sauce pretty seriously there, Alan.
Well, let's see this other one, which is a little bit funnier than that one.
This is another good one.
Go ahead.
A Florida man just set fire to his own truck, but he had a reason, according to police. This one's funny. A Florida man was pulled over for speeding, so he played a song that the cops know well. Car's owner, Kevin Robert Murphy, admitted that he poured gasoline onto his truck as well as the interior, then set it on fire. Why? To give deputies something to do, he said. After deputies arrested the 28-year-old Florida man, methamphetamine and drug paraphernalia were found in his pocket. He added two counts of possession to his arson charge. Murphy's court date is set for December 28th, next week. But he was afraid the police didn't have enough to do, Alan, so he thought he would give them something to do, and he did by setting his truck on fire.
I think an uncovering of the facts will produce that there's something else going on there, but we're going to award the Florida man who set fire to his truck as our putz of the week because he's a real putz.
Yeah, that certainly, he certainly fits the bill, as do the other two. And we'll save the others for next week. We have one, a surgeon who branded two people on their livers. That was a good one. We found that. And people say, where do you find this stuff, Rob? Well, it's out there. It really, you can't make it up, Alan. You just can't make it up.
The other one that you're going to read next week involves a lawyer who had a secret witness, and the witness has some credibility problems.
Yes, she does. The witness does. And we'll talk about that. We probably should have more news on that one. That story will probably percolate a little bit this week, I would guess, because of all the things that are happening in the world. So we'll hope for the best on that one.
Who knows what's going to go on, because each of the last 2 weeks we've had more than enough stories and articles that we could fit into our show. Sometimes we move them ahead and to the following week. Some weeks the coming news just makes those other articles drop. And so we could easily have done a two-hour show this week.
Well, the news just changes so quickly, Alan, from week to week. And we want to do our listeners a service by bringing up all the information that we can to help them. Because, again, we're just trying to help people get back to business. That's the idea. And one of the things we've talked about the last several weeks, again, I'd like to end our program on this note to our local politicians and politicos and all of you out there, is please turn the temperature down. It's not good for business. People are, they're unsure. They don't feel confident. And when they don't feel confident, they're not going to go out and buy things. Right, Alan? They're not going to go buy a new car, a new house, remodel their home. They might not even go out and buy a simple thing like a pair of shoes. So please, politicians out there, I know that you're all very, very into your own beliefs and your systems and all that, but you got to think about what's going on in the world, and please, tone it down.
Please join us next week on Back to Business with Robin Allen at 9 a.m. on Saturday. Again, this has been Alan McCloskey.
Rob Davidson, thanks for being with us. Happy and healthy New Year, everybody. Thanks for being with us.